Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Shit Show with J-Bo. In this episode, I got to talk with Dave, our political consultant here at The Shit Show with J-Bo. I'm not going to say too much now because me and him said a whole lot concerning the impeachment, concerning the Democratic debates, and all that. So without further ado, here's my theme song.
I really like that. That's technical.
Okay. But yeah, so I've been following impeachment, and I've been following it pretty close. Yeah, I watched all the House hearings and all that stuff, and it's still a pretty convoluted thing to me. You know, there's a lot of blustery talk from Democrats, from Republicans. It's like, there's nothing here. This is crazy. So I thought I would open up the Articles of Impeachment and kind of outline them and summarize so that we all know what we're talking about. So
because,
I've got that.
Because if you're listening to, depending on your news source, he's either the worst president that's ever existed or the Democrats are insane. And that's a weird, that's a huge bridge, you know, right there. And so why not get into it? Totally.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's still, even after the Mueller report, that, you know, a lot of the news outlets, CNN, MSNBC, are still referring to Trump as a Russian asset. You know, they're still like he's in Vladimir Putin's pocket, which is, you know, pretty crazy. And some of that comes out in this impeachment document, which I'm about to read from. And so there are two.
Real quick, Dave, like before we get into this, it's when they use the word asset, like Tulsi Gabbard, for instance, your girl. My girl, too, really like her. They refer to her as a Russian asset. Now, that can be true, but that's like saying, you know, Obama, for instance, was an Iranian asset. Like, there are other countries that would benefit from certain presidents getting elected. So, really, it's just a way of saying, well, no shit. Like, that's okay. Like, certain presidents benefit certain countries, but it doesn't mean there's something nefarious going on, you know?
Right. It's a framing of certain things as nefarious. You know, going into the election, Trump said he wanted to kind of bring Russia into the fold. Like, why are we not allies with this country? And the foreign policy establishment is not in that camp. You know, that they see Russia as an enemy, pure and simple, for reasons which I don't really understand. It is, and there's a lot of, you know, that thread in this whole impeachment thing where you're essentially going against the foreign policy establishment doctrine. And that's, you know, how Republicans are looking at it, as that's all this is a policy disagreement. You know, you can have a set of facts and people are looking at it from different perspectives. One perspective is Trump is the sole responsibility for setting foreign policy. And then the other frame from the other side is essentially the United States has a long-running foreign policy that has been established through the State Department and intelligence agencies, and there are good reasons why we have this policy, and Donald Trump, some TV reality show guy, can't come in and defy that. That's kind of how they look at it.
I think nakedly, to me, it all boils every bit of it. You know, you said something like you didn't understand what you see, why Russia is viewed in a certain way by the mainstream media or whatever. I think it's all very blatant. It's a lust for power. Everything is a lust for power, getting power back. Whoever Trump allies with, if it's making him look good, if it's helping them, it's no different than banning Alex Jones, who purportedly helped Trump get elected, and coming up with reasons. It's the mainstream media in coercion with the left to get power back. That's all any of it is. I don't even know that the policy matters at all. I think it's a naked thirst for power. That's how I see it. You know, it's very simple.
I think there's some truth to that in terms of vilifying Trump's allies. And I'm not saying Trump is allied with Russia. I think he's been tougher on them than previous presidents. But him even bringing up this concept of to not be total enemies with the largest nuclear power in the world outside of the United States, we should be able to not blindly be their enemy. Anyway, yeah. I think we should get to these articles here.
Let's get to them.
Okay. There are two, and we'll start with Article 1, Abuse of Power. I'm going to read a summary of this starting now. Okay. Using the powers of his high office, President Trump solicited the interference of a foreign government, Ukraine, in the 2020 presidential election. He did so through a scheme or course of conduct that included soliciting the government of Ukraine to publicly announce investigations that would benefit his re-election, harm the election prospects of a political opponent, and influence the 2020 United States presidential election to his advantage. President Trump also sought to pressure the government of Ukraine to take these steps by conditioning official United States government acts of significant value to Ukraine on its public announcements of the investigations. President Trump engaged in this scheme or course of conduct for corrupt purposes in pursuit of personal political benefit. Okay, that's the charge. Now, here is how they say he did it. President Trump, acting both directly and through his agents within and outside the United States government, corruptly solicited the government of Ukraine to publicly announce investigations into a political opponent, Joseph No Malarkey Biden, B, a discredited theory promoted by Russia, alleging that Ukraine, rather than Russia, interfered in the 2016 presidential election. And two, this is the second means in which he committed that, the charge. With the same corrupt motives, President Trump, acting both directly and through his agents within and outside the United States government, conditioned two official acts on the public announcement, the release of $391 million to oppose Russian aggression, and he had that order, they had that suspended, and he withheld the White House meeting for the president of Ukraine. And now here's the third means in which he committed his abuse of power. Faced with the public revelation of his actions, Trump ultimately released the military and security assistance to Ukraine, but has persisted in openly and corruptly urging and soliciting Ukraine to undertake investigations for his personal political benefit. He also betrayed the nation by abusing his high office to enlist a foreign power in corrupting democratic elections. He will remain a threat to national security and the Constitution if allowed to remain in office, and has acted in a manner grossly incompatible with self-government and the rule of law. Donald J. Trump has directed the unprecedented, categorical, and indiscriminate defiance of subpoenas. Oh, wait, I think I'm in Article 2. Hold on. Yeah. So anyway, so that was Article 1, essentially.
Can we talk about Article 1 a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just say a few things. I'm going to shoot from the hip, man.
Bring it.
Okay. First of all, does anybody really believe – I mean, okay, it is possible that Biden could beat Trump. It's a possibility. And I guess technically he is a political opponent. But realistically, I never saw Biden posing much of a challenge to Trump, given the fact that he seems like – with his gaffes that he's kind of losing it, kind of getting older. You know, like there's something going on with him. I don't think he would have been much of an opponent. In my opinion, I don't think Trump had his eye on like, I better do this because Biden's going to, you know, whip my ass in 2020. I think it's more like Trump hates the Democrats because they made his life a living fucking hell. He's pissed off that they're trying to say he did not get elected legitimately, and he's trying to destroy the Obama legacy. So how does he do that? He heard some shit about Biden in Ukraine, so he goes back and says, you know, this. My point is, I think it was about 2016. It was about Biden's corruption. I don't think he was looking towards 2020. Yes, Biden happened to be a candidate, you know, versus Trump, but that doesn't make his ridiculous, his own corruption, putting his son on the on that board, that oil energy company in Ukraine, or, you know, doing the quid pro quo and acting like a gangster when he had that guy fired or whatever. That doesn't make him somehow you're unable to pursue that because he's running as president. So I think the premise is ridiculous. I don't think Trump was trying to make – I mean, two things can be true at one time. I do think it would benefit his election in 2020, but I don't think that's what he was going for. I think he just wanted to bury Biden because there's a fucking war going on between the right and the left.
Yeah, so I think that's exactly what the Trump defense should be and will be. This every charge I read – had something to the effect of for corrupt purposes or corruptly. Now, what that implies is that the only reason Trump did any of this is to hurt Joe Biden in the 2020 election.
Right.
Right? That's the corrupt purpose. Now, all you have to do is say what you have said is that. Well, I think there's the better argument, and probably there's truth to it, and it does align with what you said, is that, and all they need to prove is that, at least partially, Trump did believe that the Bidens were corrupt, because and witnesses during the House hearings testified that there was an appearance of impropriety with Hunter Biden working for Burisma. One of the ambassadors was prepped because she went in under Obama. She was prepped by the Obama administration on that question of Hunter Biden and Burisma. So there was clearly an appearance of impropriety. So it makes sense that Trump might want to investigate that, right? And that's all. It was also, like you said before, he believes that the Obama administration was corrupt and is pissed that they're all calling him corrupt. Right. So, yeah, he's going back and saying, you know, trying to show, hey, these are the real dirtbags, not me.
Exactly.
Now, you know, that storyline will never really – just given the nature of the media and just how these narratives get pushed out. That's why you got to bring in the attorney general, which he was trying to do. You know, he's trying to get the attorney general involved.
Yes.
And to look at the previous administration, which is totally legitimate. Totally legitimate.
Totally.
Now, Trey Gowdy has been on the news lately. And he keeps bringing this point up, is if you look at the transcript, it was the Ukrainian president who brought up Rudy Giuliani, not Trump. Trump brought up William Barr, the attorney general. So don't conflate this. Don't say that Trump is pushing Rudy Giuliani on the Ukrainian president, because the Ukrainian president is the one who brought up Giuliani. Trump legitimately is saying, would you talk to our attorney general? So if you take corrupt purposes out of this impeachment article and say, and replace that with to investigate a conflict of interest whereby Joe Biden removed a prosecutor from Ukraine by trying to remove, you know, by threatening them with the holding back of $1 billion in aid, this totally flips over on Joe Biden. It's really, you know, it's nuts, like how you kind of have a two-sided mirror here or whatever. I don't know. I just made that up. But
yeah,
this could easily be a story about Joe Biden and what he did.
That's actually what it is.
But it is.
The media, in collusion with the Democrats, have turned it into something completely different to save their own ass and possibly to get quid pro Joe out of the contention, which was their intention the whole time, probably, because I think they're pushing Elizabeth Warren. I don't know. I don't think Elizabeth Warren fares any better versus Trump than Biden would have. But so I don't know why they would push another losing candidate.
That's a tough one. But I don't know if the Democrats know who they want at this point.
Buttigieg, Orton, probably, right?
You could say Biden. I think we'll get into this conversation in a little bit, but I think it's factionalized. Biden definitely has some old school support. I think he probably has support from the Clinton wing, the old school Democrats. And then, and Warren probably does as well. So I don't know what that power structure is like. I don't think many people do. It's probably very fluid at this point. I don't think this all helps Joe Biden very much. And then when you have the impeachment hearing, it kind of does help Joe Biden because he can be out campaigning while Warren and Sanders are stuck in the Senate. So it goes both ways, which makes it hard to really analyze.
Yeah. What do you think about that whole I want to get to the second article in a second, but what do you think about the whole Warren accusing Bernie of calling her a liar and him saying she called him a liar? And in your mind, I'm sure you've run over what the conversation may have gone like with those two in private. How do you think it went? You know, him saying women couldn't win or something.
You know, I've been in conversations where I've said things and people thought I meant something else or meant something and it didn't come out right. So it's possible both things are true. But, I don't believe that Bernie Sanders believes that a woman can't be president, at least not in a negative way towards women. I could see him saying, boy, it'll be tough for a woman to beat Trump or something like that, you know, like,
yeah, right.
Which is not sexist. It's an analysis, right? So I think there's some fuckery going on here.
Definite fuckery between CNN and Liz Warren. I mean, did you see how they had the perfect angle when she confronted him? I mean, either they're all in on it. At the very least, Liz Warren and CNN knew that was going to happen. Maybe Bernie did. You know, I have this vision of, like, these politicians, every single one of them, going out to, like, Epstein's Island and having, you know, an Academy Award style, like, you gave the best, you know, the best performance. Like it's all a soap opera, you know, every single thing. But that's probably not true. But
I mean, what the kind of story is, just the potential story, is that the Warren camp leaked to this conversation to CNN. CNN reported on it. And then they got it confirmed by Elizabeth Warren, you know. So that's what they like to do. They like to get a leak from somebody and then publicly announce that that person has confirmed it. You know, like John Brennan or the scumbags from Brennan and Clapper. They would always, like, leak stuff and then confirm it about the Mueller report. It was all bullshit. There's a possibility she was totally colluding with CNN, and that boy, that microphone sounded good when, you know, they came out afterwards. You know, like you said, the perfect angle, it sounded perfect. Except, in my opinion, she comes off really poorly right there. So if she's proud of that, and she may be, that just shows how off she is. And
yeah, she's another Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, but yes, without the team of murderers and without the power, you know, like, Hillary has built up so much power over the last 30 years that she can kind of push through things and be tough. But Warren sort of feeble, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I think we talked about it last time I was on, which is a long time ago, mm-hmm. that there were two lanes in this Democratic primary. One is the Joe Biden sort of middle of the road guy who was Barack Obama's vice president and is going to be able to get the African-American vote in the South. So that just makes him a strong candidate just based on that, because he has a base in the South. He has a base in the sort of industrial Midwest, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, stuff like that. And then you have the progressive wing, which was Sanders and Warren. And so Warren was kind of copying Sanders, and her take was, well, I got to beat Bernie, and then I'll move to the middle and then beat Joe Biden. So, but what happened, what seems to have happened instead, just based
AOC.
On
the polls, AOC.
AOC for you and me, yeah. AOC and the squad came out and went on Bernie's side, which put Warren, just busted her. I think that's what busted her campaign. That's why she's going to lose.
She's definitely going to lose.
Well, you never know. I think we can say that now, but we'll see when the votes happen. But it appears that way, where any progressive worth their salt is not going to go or will go with whoever AOC goes with. Because she's, you know, and Bernie is also, he's the true believer, you know, he's the real commie. So,
right. I bet you he wishes the Democrats had the red color instead of the blue. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But so, yeah, so it looks to me like it'll be Bernie who, you know, if Bernie wins Iowa and New Hampshire, which is possible, he's going to be tough to beat. And,
you know how old he is, man?
Is he 80?
He's 78 years old. I don't know when he turned 79, but there's a good possibility he'll be... Now, Donald Trump has been, so far, as the oldest president, if I'm not mistaken, ever elected to office. He was 70. Bernie will be almost 80. Dude, I don't... I want to be honest here. If Donald Trump wants to bash Bernie's health, I think that's probably a decent way to go. I mean, I know it's a little dirty, right? But I honestly don't think Bernie will make it through a term. And he just had a heart attack. Hey, for his age, he looks great, but only for his age. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the best place to be, the best place if you're angling. It's like Julian Castro. Might be the dumbest guy in the world, because after he dropped out, he went and supported Warren, when the most coveted job in the world should be Bernie Sanders vice president. You know, because you're going to be president. So
yep, right.
Julian Castro should have just went and be, you know, okay, I'm on Bernie train now, because maybe I'll get to be president. But thankfully, he did not do that. But going back to sort of how, you know, this primary could play out, I think Bernie will win California. You know, he'll do well out west. He'll take the whole West Coast. But it'll be pretty close. My overarching theory on how this will play out is it'll be like a Walter Mondale situation in 1984 where...
Landslide?
Yes and no, but there were other Democrat candidates in that race there's people who did not join the race, and there's people who dropped out early because they knew that Ronald Reagan would landslide their ass. And essentially, Walter Mondale was a super liberal, you know, a real out there guy.
Oh, wow.
Who was willing to, just like Bernie, go out and say, I'll raise your taxes. So what we could see is the Democrat establishment being like, okay, Bernie, you take this one. You know, because Trump's going to smoke everybody anyway. And we'll, you know, we'll take the loss as a Democrat, but it won't hurt our Democrat establishment it'll more hurt the progressive wing, which will actually strengthen the Democrat establishment. And we don't get, you know, we're not the ones who get smoked. So, yeah, it has a two-pronged effect of not hurting the establishment cause as much because, per se, they didn't lose. And then it may weaken the progressive wing by getting smoked so hard.
Fucking smoke that shit hard. Yeah, I'm just picturing, like, election night, Trump, you know, in slow motion, and them playing that Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. It was an interesting juxtaposition. You know, like, it's just some meme, you know, a 30-second meme. It'd be hilarious. Okay, dude, so I feel you. I feel that. I think we're on the same page. I appreciate that. What about the second article of impeachment, man?
So, the second article of impeachment is obstruction of Congress. I don't think this warrants as much attention just because it's nonsensical in a lot of ways. Essentially, I highlighted one, four lines. It says, Donald Trump has directed the unprecedented, categorical, and indiscriminate defiance of subpoenas issued by the House of Representatives pursuant to its sole power of impeachment. So essentially, they subpoenaed a bunch of Trump staffers or, you know, people who work in the executive branch. They subpoenaed documents. And Trump says, no, I have the right to, essentially the right to, the executive branch has a right to privacy from Congress. You can't just ask us for anything, you know. We have executive privilege, you know, in the counter, you know, and you look at it like this, okay, you know, okay, well, Pelosi, you send me every meeting record that you've ever had. You send me all your documents, Pelosi. If these are co-equal branches, that would be a similar situation. So you never have the executive branch subpoena Congress for shit. Trump and the White House have taken executive privilege, saying we have reasons to protect this information from your view. And this has happened so many times in history. When there's a standoff like that, it goes to the courts. And for an impeachment situation, it would go probably to the Supreme Court eventually. The Democrats did not want to wait for the courts to decide. So instead of letting the process play out, they charged him with obstruction. So I say this article lacks any potential to be successful, or why it's dumb on its face, is because if this article, instead of going to the Senate as the judge, if this article went to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court would strike it down because it essentially usurps power from the Supreme Court. The House of Representatives is trying to say, you have to listen to us, not what the Supreme Court says. And that's never, you know. So this one might get immediately kind of voted down.
Okay.
That's my theory is how this impeachment, you know, is going to play out is they'll do it like the 1998-99, whenever the Clinton impeachment was, is Adam Schiff and the Democrats are going to come in and they're going to lay out their case of why Donald Trump, betrayed the nation. They say he betrayed the nation.
Right.
So it's a serious, they're really serious charges. So they're going to have to lay those out over the course of, I don't know, a few days. Then the Trump team, who consists of his White House counsel, whose name I can't remember, a guy named Jay Sekulow, who is reportedly a very good lawyer. He's argued in front of the Supreme Court successfully numerous times. Alan Dershowitz, Ken Starr, Pam Bondi, and a couple other folks. he kind of went to the folks who look good on TV route. But anyway, so his team is going to come, after the Democrats come in, Trump's team is going to come in and lay out the defense. They're going to say, essentially what we talked about earlier, Rob, you know, this was not for corrupt purposes. This is to investigate legitimate shit.
Legitimate corruption.
Yeah. And the previous administration. You know, if the president can't investigate potential corruption in his own government,
yeah,
then what's the point of, you know, what's the point of being president? It's not corrupt. It's actually very valiant, you know. So as long as that, you know, as long as they can make that argument, this is dead on arrival.
But they knew that, right? Like, they knew those people, the Democrats, the left, they're smart enough to know how it would all go down, right? So really what they're in essence trying to do is insult the man and hurt his chances of reelection, right? Because they knew. I mean, that's what all this is about. That's what
they
from the start.
Yes, and they are trying to take back the Senate. So, like I said, in my opinion, this is dead on arrival from a technical perspective. From a political perspective, what they're trying to do is get witnesses. We have to have witnesses or else it's a cover-up. The Senate is on trial right now. You know, that guy from New York, Nadler, keeps saying that the Senate's on trial, which is really a nasty...
So they're trying to demonize the Senate to make it look very corrupt so they can take that over as well. Well,
that's right. Like I said, the Democrats are going to make their case. Trump's going to make his case. Then it's going to go to a vote on, do we need witnesses? So the Senate's going to have to decide, even though whether they should bring in witnesses. And that puts the Republicans in a conundrum because, like I said, this is DOA. But if Republicans just voted down without hearing witnesses,
right,
it's going to make them look, it's going to make the process look like they didn't hear anybody out. You know, like, it's going to make it look like they didn't do their job, which may hurt them in the election. So,
interesting.
It may go to witnesses, at which point things are going to go haywire. Because that's when you get your John Bolton. Nobody's talking about Rudy Giuliani being a witness, but I don't see why not. You know, he would be the number one guy to talk to. You get your Hunter.
John Bolton, what's John Bolton's deal, man? I keep hearing that, but I don't know the context. Why are they afraid to have him as a witness?
I don't think anybody's afraid to have John Bolton as a witness. From what I've gathered, he was not really a part of this at all. He just knew it was going on because there was something going on. There was a few people. There was the ambassador to the EU. There was Rick Perry and then another ambassador who were kind of dealing with this Ukraine situation, trying to get – or, you know, it's hard to – it really kind of – wishy-washy, but they were at least one of the guys, you know, the EU ambassador, his name I can't remember, was really trying to get, he was pushing along with Rudy Giuliani to get the Ukrainians to announce an investigation.
Right. Okay.
And Bolton was aware of this. I don't think he was part of it, but he referred to it as a shady drug deal or something like that. So I don't think he would really have that much to add. And unless there's a witness who said, Trump told me that he wanted the investigation to take down Biden for the 2020 election, then nobody's got anything, you know?
Which then there's no way Trump would say that or be that stupid, you know?
True, and I don't think that's, you know, I personally don't think that was his intention like we talked about before.
Yeah.
So it's doubly unlikely. But then, there, you know, the Republicans would want to call witnesses, too. They would want to call Hunter Biden.
Joe Biden.
And be like, I think Joe Biden, too. Again, Rudy Giuliani should be the number one witness for the Democrats, and Joe Biden should be the number one witness for Republicans. My fear here is that
Nancy Pelosi becomes president?
Well, there is some talk of that. Just because for some reason the Vice President Pence is being brought into this conversation. I don't really get it. But my fear is that there's, you know, this remains a, you know, unproven allegation. But parts of the Democrat narrative kind of fill in blanks, and so that it becomes more cohesive. And it's just enough to, like, get a patchwork, like, story there where there's a enough people who are like, oh, this is just shady as fuck, you know, and we're going to look bad if we don't impeach. I really don't think that's going to happen, but I
think the possibility Republicans could be swayed into switching the vote enough to actually remove him from office.
Right, even if he didn't even do anything wrong.
What a fucked up propagandized world we live in, man.
Yeah. But, I don't think that'll happen, but you never know. People don't like Trump, man. I don't care who you are, you know, like, if you're in D.C., you don't like Trump.
Yeah, well, if you're in Greensburg or Cumberland, Maryland, half the people like Trump.
That's all he needs.
I mean, I'm serious. Like it's. I feel like he has a lot of really, really strong support. I mean, I know they say rallies don't win elections or whatever. This, you know, if there is a saying like that, but I mean, he has a fervent fan base, and I do think there is an element to where the more the perception is that they're fucking with him, regardless of what DC thinks, the people will come out and put him back into office. You know.
I agree. It'd be funny if he got removed and then ran for re-election.
Did he do that?
Probably not.
So could they, if he wins in 2020, could they continue this whole thing and go on and, like, could they just impeach him again and do this whole thing again and implicate Trump, and at some point Pelosi does? I mean, Alex Jones, you know, a year ago he laid it all out how they're going to remove Trump, implicate Pence and Pelosi. And, you know, that guy, the things he says seems out there. It's like, wow, that's scary, Alex. There's no fucking way that would happen. But then we creep towards this thing, or it's like, oh my God, that actually is a possibility, although slight, but you can see it, like, forming a little bit.
Yeah. Right, where it's never taken off the table and becomes slightly more probable every day, but still improbable.
Yeah.
Until it happens. But, that would be pretty outrageous.
I never thought I'd see Trump impeach. But, you know, a year and a half ago, I was talking to my brother, and he's like, well, if they win the House, they'll probably impeach him. I was like, fair enough. But then it actually happened, you know.
Yeah, and they didn't even need a good reason. And they make, you know, this essential non, you know, but what we talked about before is, you know, this could be seen as a valiant act of investigating corruption in the former administration. If Obama had the same phone call looking into George W. Bush, that's how it would be perceived as this great moment of, you know, taking that powerful step and looking into what the previous corrupt administration was doing. You know, like, really, you know, that takes a lot of balls. You know?
If only conservatives had invented Twitter, Facebook, Google, you know, we would have a different reality. And that's actually the truth, and that's actually quite scary.
It just seems the Democrats have a better, more cohesive narrative. It's just amazing how the stuff they can come up with.
It is amazing.
You know, taking this nothing burger and saying he betrayed the nation, and he's corrupting our election. You know, like, think about that. You know, he's using his power to coerce a foreign power to corrupt our election. I mean, how do you go from investigating corruption in a previous administration to trying to corrupt our next election? You know, it's a leap, dude. It takes imagination.
And it worked.
It worked. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. You know, and I really did come into this whole situation with an open mind. I was a little bit unhappy with Trump at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder what happened here. And then I watched this House hearing, and I was just like, this is horse shit, you know? Like I said, I came in with an open mind and came out like, this is a hoax. Trump's right. So I just hope it doesn't turn bad, because it still has that potential.
Trump is really going to – honestly, I think Trump's going to win. I think he's going to rub it in everybody's face. And I think people are going to cry when he gets reelected, and he's going to keep doing his thing. But I enjoy – thinking about what could happen on the other side. But, Zach, I think that's what's going to happen, you know.
I think you're right. Now, another question is, what does this do to the Democrats in the House if Trump is acquitted? So I think the best way for that to play out is for the Senate to allow certain set of witnesses, don't let it get too crazy.
Right.
You know, let John Bolton come in and say, yeah, Trump never told me to withhold aid for this purpose. So, he also had to withhold aid until an announcement of an investigation was made. And that didn't happen. The aid got there, and the investigation was never announced. It's all based on something that didn't happen.
The big question with that is, though, and this is a very interesting point, is – did Trump catch wind? You know, mainstream talking point, but that Trump caught wind of it, and that's why he actually released it and said, no quid pro quo, you know what I mean? Like, because he saw what was coming down, and he wanted to, like, save his own ass, you know?
Yeah, that was something I found interesting, because in his one phone, his call with the EU ambassador, I can't remember his name. Maybe it's Sondland. But when Sondland, he talked to him, and Trump was like, no quid pro quo, you know? Like, I want the guy to be, he like literally said no quid pro quo.
Right.
Now, that's kind of odd. I do find that kind of odd that he would like literally say that. I think, the last day of the judiciary hearing, Judiciary Committee hearings, the Office of Management of Budget sent like a document to the Judiciary Committee saying, hey, this was all in process. We were doing a review. And when that review was done, we released the aid. It wasn't Trump said, release the aid. Oh, shit. You know, they caught me. Release the aid. There was an actual process going on in the government. Where a bunch of bureaucrats were reviewing stuff, you know? And also, Pence was meeting with the Ukrainian president. There was a bipartisan group of senators who went to meet with the Ukrainian president, who all came back and reported to Trump, this guy's legit, you know? He's not a slimy guy who's going to take our money and buy a yacht. So that was all going on. So there was a legit investigation of corruption, right, where Pence met with the Ukrainian president once or twice. Other people were meeting with the Ukrainian president to get a read on him. And there was this OMB process going on at the same time. So there was, like, actual investigation of Ukrainian potential corruption of this new administration over in Ukraine and the new government, because they had to form a new government with the new president. You know, they had an entirely new parliament who,
yeah, right,
when they came in, revised some laws where they had laws where if you were a member of Ukrainian parliament, you essentially had immunity from crime. You could be corrupt as fuck.
He was running that corruption campaign. Trump's asking about it. That makes total sense.
It goes back to the narrative and Adam Schiff's fever dreams about, well, you know, they got caught and that's why they gave out the money. It's like, no, there was a process going on. Nobody cares about you being caught by you, Adam Schiff, pencil neck.
Adam Schiff is a failed screenwriter, probably Hollywood actor. I mean, that's his spot, right? He runs. I mean, he's in Hollywood, right? Is that correct?
Yes, he's in Burbank, right there with Mitch.
It makes total sense, the parties he probably goes to. You know, De Niro is, like, you know, hanging out, you know?
Yeah.
With that dude.
I totally agree. I think that's a lot of what's going on, is that's his constituency. And
dude, did you know Dr. Drew? Dr. Drew of the Adam Carolla and Drew fame. I mean, maybe he's famous for other things. But, you know, he's thinking about running against Schiff for that district.
I heard that. I think that'd be cool. I might have to move there and vote for him.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Listen, I think that was an amazing talk here today, Dave. Do you have more to say, bro? I mean, we've summed up a lot. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we covered impeachment and we covered the Democratic primary pretty good.
Hey, great talk, man. Don't hang up, but this is the Shit Show with J-Bo, and we'll have you on soon. Appreciate it. And actually, I'm going to put this out very, very soon because, as we know, political news spoils like meat in the sun. You got to put it out quick. You know, you got to eat it up because things could change tomorrow. See you, Dave.
Later, Jeff.